You are now listening to the Invited Podcast with Cedric Harris and Tia McClain. You've officially been invited. Welcome to the Invited Podcast. This is the final episode of our first season. Can you believe that we are finally here?
I cannot. What's the word, T? It's been a minute since just you and I hopped on the mic. How you doing?
It's been a very long time. I'm doing okay. Interested in talking about how life has changed over the past couple of months and future stuff. So, yeah. And how are you?
I'm doing swell. Thank you for asking.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a lovely Monday.
It actually was a really good Monday. I really did enjoy it. Anytime the sun is out, my day is better. So,
you know, the crazy part about last time we talked about the weather, we talked about in January when we recorded our very first episode, how it doesn't snow in Dallas.
We did.
And then the next month, Alaska hit us.
Snowpocalypse.
And okay. I was out of power for like 3 days, and that wasn't fun.
Cedric was hurt, and I live close to a hospital, so we never lost power, didn't lose heat. But my electricity bill came back almost $300, so that was ridiculous. But
you,
still.
You live close to a hospital. I live a mile away from you.
Yes, so like, Cedric is walking distance.
And yours wasn't, so.
So that, yeah, that wasn't a fun time. But we made the best of it. We had some friends over, had a little sleepover, people who lost their power. So
meanwhile, I was going from couch to couch. Pretty bad times, but
interesting times.
We've made it. What else is new, man? What's going on? What's changing your life since January when we first launched the Invited Podcast?
Since January. Well, I know we talked about like what we were going to be intentional about. I have been intentional about my fitness. Okay. I've been on it. So one of the biggest things I think that plays into fitness is getting active every single day. So of course people, you know, have their little breaks and whatnot, but even on your off days, still being active. So me and my little doggy, we get out, we do a mile on my rest day, which I feel like is helping y'all. I think my stomach getting flatter. Wait till my summertime pics come out. Okay.
Boat party ready.
Okay. Outside of fitness, I'm currently working towards getting licensed as a professional counselor. So I don't know if in the first episode I mentioned I have my master's in counseling, but me having my master's in counseling means absolutely nothing. So I have to get licensed to actually practice. And when I finished my master's at age 24, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was like, I don't think I'm ready to be a counselor. Like, that's not what I saw myself doing. But after a few years out of school working, it's what I do. It's what I do when I work with students now. I'm counseling them. I'm helping them with issues and problems and finding solutions. And so I'm like, you know, I would love to just be licensed.
So what does that process look like?
It's a lot. It's a lot of work. And I don't even know if I'm going to finish it. I shouldn't say that. I really, really shouldn't. If I'm serious about it, I need to put my mind to it and do it, because it's going to be a 2-year process. So that's 2 years on top of the master's program that I've already completed and graduated from. I'm going to be taking some exams to prove that I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to be counseling as an intern for 2 years, and then I will be a licensed professional counselor. I have to find a supervisor, and some supervisors you have to pay to get your hours. So I'm going to be spending money.
It takes money to make money.
But I don't think I'll be making more as a licensed counselor. It's just about passion and about wanting to help people. Like, what I make right now, I don't feel like I would be making much more unless I maybe started my own practice. So that's also on the table, starting my own practice in the future. You know, I'm just still in a place. I know I mentioned earlier previously that I'm in a place where I'm still learning, figuring out my life and what I want and what direction I'm going next. So that's my next endeavor. So after finishing college, after, you know, being in school for so long, it can feel a little bit like, man, like, what's next? So this is like my next endeavor. I guess I'll just, yeah, I've been talking a lot. What's been new in your life, Cedric?
Well, Thank you for finally allowing me to speak. I've been waiting to speak for so long.
Wow.
But no, I remember like on the first episode, I mentioned like trying to figure out what's next career wise and
you
trying
did.
To figure that out. And
yeah,
I got a new job. So after
Hold on,
four
man.
And a half years in my first job out of college, finally transitioned to a new role.
Come on.
At a new company doing new things. Whoop, so whoop.
You going to say what your new title is? What you laughing at? Come on.
Because everyone always makes fun of the title because they think the title means I have lots of moolah that yeah. comes with that. That's not necessarily true. That's not true.
No, you said that? Necessarily true.
But I am an associate account executive at a company, like a broker company. So like benefits consulting essentially is what I do. And it's been cool. It's been about almost 2 months now. Mm-hmm. Definitely a change of speed. It's been kind of weird starting a new job virtually. So all of my training has been virtual, speaking with everyone on meetings every day, not mm-hmm. actually seeing them face to face. Training's been virtual, which everyone who already works there says they don't know how I'm doing that because it's hard enough for them to learn it in person.
Are they older?
It's a range on my team. So I think it's about 11 people on my team.
Okay.
One day they asked a random question on the call, like who on the call was born in the 90s, and four of us rose our hands. The rest of them weren't. So
I'm like, in the 80s, baby.
Yeah, like some people on my team have like kids in college. So like, yeah. It's been a range versus my old job. My boss in my old job was 3 years older than me, and their boss was 2 years older than them. So it was like a much younger company.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been pretty good. Learning a lot, building a lot about on things that I already knew, but learning mm-hmm. in a more holistic way, more pieces of the puzzle being put together. But
yeah,
that's one thing that's new.
That's a big thing that's new. Yeah, we always do joke with Cedric because we already know that title comes with money. Like, you didn't just switch to this new job for fun. It came with some money. It's okay. What are you about to say? I'm about to talk about you being debt free.
Well, yeah, that was actually my next my next thing. So about a couple years ago, I started reading this book. No, matter of fact, not a couple years ago. I lied. It was last year. I read this book by Dave Ramsey that my brother gave me 5 years ago. I always had it, just never read it. Quarantine hit, had nothing else to do. Read this book. Dave Ramsey's whole thing is being debt-free. It's like the key, one of the keys to building wealth and things like that. So I kind of follow his plan. It called the baby step. So baby step number two. And yeah, I paid off my student loans in December, Woo! This past December, paying off my car this month. And then after that, no more debt, baby. So then we'll start stacking a little bit, you know.
That's so exciting and big congrats on that. Talking about loans in general is always such a interesting conversation, especially when I'm talking to students. So I work with majority first generation college students. And outside of that, you're working with first generation students who are in the boat of considering college. So they're getting they're getting this narrative, or they have this narrative, that school is bad because loans. And I want people to think and people to know in general that loans, you can pay them back. You can become debt free. And even if you don't pay them off within 5 years of graduating, you still can be in a very good place where you're making money and you are on top of your loan. So they will, like, you don't have to, what am I trying to say? Like, you won't be in this hole. Like, you're going to find a job where you're making decent amount of money. Like, don't be afraid of student loans. I just want to say that.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. And I always want to talk to my, I always try to tell my students that I work with that, because I work with a lot of graduating seniors. So along with college students, graduating high school seniors. And we ask them, like, what do you plan to do after? And I swear, so we were just reading through their responses, and a lot of them were like, I want to make money. I'm not going to school because I don't want no loans. I'm finna go make some money. What do you mean? How are you about to make money, sweetie?
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that. Remember, I was talking to you about the guy I met at a family fish fry.
Yes.
And he works, what company was that for? Organization?
It's Workforce Solutions.
Yeah, so he works for an organization that helps employ people. And he was telling us at the fish fry that he had a budget of, I think, $300,000 to spend on the the youth between the ages of 16 and 24, and then $500,000 to spend on adults between the ages of 25 and 75 to help them not only gain employment, but also gain skills that'll help them be more employable. Mm-hmm. But he was like, with a lot of the youth, they just don't care. He's like, man, it's just like they don't know what they want to do. But even if they don't know, they'd have no direction and they don't have any initiative to try. So more power and more shout out to you for being in that space, because I know it can't be easy every day.
It's stressful because of that reason right there, because you have young people, and of course you won't know what you want to do with the rest of your life. But if you don't have people around you letting you know that it's okay to explore, but that you need to do something, like it's not okay for you to just go work a part-time job and have no plans, like you don't have any idea. We have to get something, like we have to get something in your mind. And I literally just sent out info about that today, so hopefully we get a little traction and students sign up.
Well, I guess you do something to work. I just think you just hang out and chill out and go on walks. Tia recently got an Apple Watch so you can join our fitness challenges. And I was getting all sort of notifications from her like at 2 o'clock today of going on 4 mile runs. And I was like, does this girl really work? But I guess you do.
I do. I'm sorry I have a flexible schedule and you don't. Cedric be working till 5 o'clock every single day, 8 to 5.
Well, I'm new, so I have to try to impress. I have to like make it seem like I'm really grinding, really trying to, you know, rise up the ranks. So
I feel that.
Maybe in a little bit I can cruise a little bit, but for right now I'm gonna fake work, fake it till I make it. No, I'm just joking.
And when you have days where you are working at 6 or 7, or you starting before hours, I'm getting my time back.
I feel that. But speaking of fitness, mm-hmm. I'm also on a fitness journey.
You are, okay.
Yeah. So last year when the Rona hit, I was never a runner. I think I mentioned this previously, golly. I think I mentioned this previously, but I was never a runner. But now I run.
But so, now I run.
So now that the weather's pretty consistent, my friend Dub and I, shout out to DUBB, we go running every day. 2 miles, 3.5 mile walk, and then we're starting to ramp up so I can get my boat party body ready too.
We're going on a boat for Juneteenth. I think that's really great that Black people are starting to celebrate the holiday. But yeah, we have a boat party coming up, so that's gonna be really fun.
Facts. Another thing that I touched on episode 1 that I said I was gonna do and spend more time doing was reading.
You did.
And I haven't done that. Last year, I read 9 books. Uh-huh. This year so far, I've read 0. I've been a part of 2 different book clubs, and both of the book clubs have yet to finish a book. Oh. You were part of one, so don't say it like that.
No, I'm saying don't call out Lex Book Club like that.
I mean, hey, she kind of just let that go by the wayside. I get calendar reminders every Sunday. And
same.
I need to figure out how to shut that off. But
oh, gosh.
I'm going to get back on. I said I'm going to start in April, but now, like, pretty much almost done with April.
It's almost May.
So May 1st, I'm picking up a book and I'm going to finish it.
I just thought about that too recently. Honestly, I just put the book over there before you got here. And I was like, is it really April and I haven't finished 1 book? So I'm on that same boat with you.
We both got to do better. How about that?
We do. We're going to have to hold each other accountable. Okay.
Revamp the book club. We're going to make it happen. What book were you reading?
The one that we chose last as a book club. Oh, it's called The One. Oh, it's actually a show on Netflix now. So who is it by? Is it James Mars?
John Mars, I think.
John Mars. So The One, if you watch it, I don't feel like you can get into that. But it's an interesting book. It's a book that's like each chapter is a different character, a different personality. Oh, really? So very interesting. One of the characters is a serial killer. And it's kind of crazy. But
shout out to spoiling it again.
That's not even a secret. You can read that. That is part of the plot.
Spoiler alert. Last time we were talking about shows and you were spoiling stuff. Now we're talking about books.
And you know what? I played the episode back and I didn't even spoil anything. We were talking about Snowfall. Let's actually get back into that. We were talking about Snowfall. And I said that the show was cool, and I said the girl got on crack, and you said, spoiler alert, first of all, which girl, who, because the whole show is about crack, so I didn't spoil anything. But speaking of Snowfall, are you watching the fourth season? How are you liking it?
Yeah, I am, actually. It's the season finale actually comes out tomorrow.
Are you serious?
No, Wednesday.
The finale?
Wednesday. Yeah, it's been 10 episodes.
What?
So, yeah, it's been pretty good to me. Because I watched seasons 1 through 3, yeah, like, consecutively. I just binged all three. Mm-hmm. Watching week to week has been an adjustment.
Yeah.
To me, it kind of started off a little slow, but I think it's just because I was so used to watching back-to-back-to-back episodes.
Yeah.
But, like, the last, like, 4 episodes have been nothing but flames. And this finale, I don't know. It's going to be good. So
you please don't spoil anything because...
I'm not a spoiler.
Oh, whatever. So I really wanted to watch season 4 with everybody. But when I started season 4, I was like, it's been a whole year since the last seasons came out.
That's
and I don't
typically how most shows work.
That's actually not always typical. A whole year break, that's Power and that's Snowfall. That's not all shows.
Lots of shows. Most shows.
Like I was saying... I still need to go backwards and catch up on season 3 so I can remind myself. I was like, who is this person? What happened with them? And so I just was like, I'll do that. Haven't watched any episode of season 4.
See, I thought the same thing when I started season 4. I was like, I'm kind of confused. But I just power through. And you become less confused as you continue to watch.
And Twitter tells you everything. So I know who died and who this and that. So... whatever.
So you enjoy spoilers. You enjoy spoiling.
I did not ask for the spoilers, Cedric. It was on my Twitter.
I understand. I see how you rock. We talked about your honor on the first episode as well.
We did.
Did you end up finishing it?
Yeah, I finished it. Is that a mini series? Like, it's no
it's
more?
Done. Yeah, done.
Okay. I mean, it definitely came to a conclusion. Yeah. So.
I feel like it started off strong, but then it got boring.
You were bored?
Toward the end. Like, it started off really, really good, and then it kind of, like, had a little downturn.
I have to remind myself that TV is written for entertainment, because you get so angry at the dumb decisions that the characters make. You're like, this does not even make sense. It's not logical. Why would this person befriend this person? Type of thing. So... can I say it? It's already been... No, whatever.
Go for it. No, do you. I already know what you like to do.
No,
go,
I won't
go
spoil,
for it.
But... yeah, characters do things that are illogical to make the show better. And I had to remind myself, like, this is so freaking stupid. But yeah, Your Honor is worth watching. It's only like 8 episodes. So.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
We also mentioned on the first one, I think Married at First Sight. Have you watched this season at all?
You already know. No, I haven't.
So what have you been watching? You haven't watched
Snowfall, let's get into it. I got something good to say.
What's up?
So I'm watching 911 currently. So for those of you who do not know, 911 is a fictional show about 911 phone calls. Like you're in the day to day of not police officers, but a firefighter crew. So there are some officers on the show, but it's about firefighters and the stuff they go through, the craziness, the emergencies. But what I had to say was, man, you don't watch it, so you won't even get it.
I probably won't, so it is what it is.
Whatever. If you ever do watch a season or catch a season, there is an agenda. The agenda, I don't know, but there is not a straight black couple on the show. The first season, the black husband and black wife find out that the husband's actually gay and has been living a lie this whole time. So he ends up with the man, of course. And then the black wife ends up with the white man. And then on every episode, there's the other main character is a black woman. She's married to a black woman. Of course, nothing wrong with having...
diversity.
Diversity. Having representation. That's great. But if I watch your show, and why are there zero... black straight couples, heterosexual couples? That's kind of strange to me. And then I started watching 911 Lone Star.
Is it like a spinoff or something?
It's a spinoff. In the first episode, the black woman is dating a white man. I just wonder what the writer's intentions are or the casting director. It's a little strange to me. But I definitely noticed that stood out to me. So
would you recommend the show to others?
I would recommend it because it is entertaining. It's a show where you don't have to you don't have to have seen the last episode to always know what's going on.
Kind of like Law and Order, Criminal Minds, yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, so exactly like that, where they have each episode is a different plot, but of course there's a backstory. Like, you got to know the relationships and whatnot. But that's enough about 911. Let's move on to something else.
All right, I'm going to just run through a couple of the shows I've watched recently. Last Chance U, the basketball version, pretty fire. If anyone who knows me, I love sports.
He does.
And basketball specifically is my jam. I used to have hoop dreams, ball is life. Ask about me. You can find me on YouTube, actually.
I'm cracking
My mixtape from middle school. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, I was like, what?
just jokes. But yeah, Last Chance U, I watched the Tiger Woods documentary. That was pretty good. Nothing but flames. HBO Max, two parts.
Why do you feel like it was so good? What did you get out of it?
Well, it's like the rise and fall, basically. So the first episode is about the rise of how he was such a prodigy, basically.
Yeah.
But it's also about, like, his family. I didn't know much about his family. I know his, like, dad was hard on him, things like that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how hard.
Yeah.
I didn't know how his, like, childhood affected or possibly affected how he operated as an adult. Some of his social cues, the way he navigated through the world, and how that may have also contributed to his fall as well.
So, do you feel like he's fallen? You feel like he's a fallen athlete, a fallen celebrity?
Well, two things happen kind of at once in his social life, his personal life. Mm-hmm. We all kind of know that about the women and the cheating and the family, things like that. But at the same time, like, he had a lot of injuries, too. Oh. So, like, he didn't perform as well as a golfer also. So, it's kind of like in both parts or aspects of his life, there was kind of a fall overall.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It was super good. Really very sad. Well put together. Also watched Behind Her Eyes on Netflix. Have you seen that?
First of all, I've only seen... Okay, so this is the show that's about cheating, right? Isn't that the plot? She's cheating with...
I wouldn't say the show is about cheating. There is an element of cheating on the show, but it's not what the show is about. Is that not
in the summary?
What? I don't read the summaries, man. I just watch the shows.
Yes, I've seen an episode of Behind Her Eyes. Yes, that's what it's called. But no, I couldn't get into it. I really couldn't.
It's another little mini series. I think it's 6 episodes.
Yeah.
It has a crazy twist.
Twist at the end.
Yeah.
Oh! That just made me think about something. I feel like I have watched something good with a twist.
What would that be?
I don't know. Okay. But when it comes to me, I will let you know. But when you said documentary, I watched the Tina Turner documentary. That thing was good. It had you crying, have you laughing. Like, you really tuned in.
I saw that and I started it. Mm-hmm. But I started kind of late at night, like 10, 30, 11.
Yeah.
And I fell asleep.
And they're knocked out.
But I am going to revisit it.
It was really good. Actually, Dub said that he watched it on Twitter. So the Tina Turner documentary, what made me want to watch it, so of course I'm just interested, but I think on Twitter, they posted it, and she said, I did not live a good life. The bad outweighed the good, pretty much. But I think I think she was saying that was a sentiment earlier on, because now I think she's happily married.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so interesting to think about people with money and fame, yeah, and a platform and this and that, not being happy.
Yeah, everything isn't as always as it seems. Is that the saying?
Sure.
Everything isn't always as it seems.
Everything that glitters is not.
The green, the grass isn't always greener.
Let's just tell Cedric not to try to use phrases.
On the other side.
But no, when you think about it, of course, we understand why. I mean, the love of her life was an abusive, crazy person. And when you hear about the abuse, like, it's really wild. But yeah, very interesting documentary. Definitely suggest watching that.
So yeah. We talked about shows, we talked about fitness, we talked about books.
Let's talk about I'm sorry, Cedric. What were you about to say?
At some point, Tia said she cuts people off a lot. I forgot which episode that was. 5, probably.
My brain moves too fast. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, let's talk about the podcast.
Ours?
Yes, our podcast. Oh. The one we're currently speaking on.
Okay.
But no, so we've interviewed a lot of interesting guests. What are some things that kind of stood out? Or like, what are some things you learned from all the different people we talked to?
First of all, shout out to every single person who's been on our show. Shout out to all of the listeners. But yes, no, I really have gotten a lot out of these conversations. I've noticed themes and patterns.
Such as
building your network, how important it is to build your network, and being okay with relying on other people.
Yeah.
So not relying on them and just like, hey, you do stuff for me, but being able to trust other people and know that help is okay. So when you're trying to work on your own projects, you're building yourself up, use your human, like use the people around you for their resources. And of course you're going to give back too, just to know that we all are working towards different things and we're there to help each other.
Yeah.
Along with that, we've talked a lot about relationships, a lot about, and that's platonic and romantic, but just interactions with other people, what to look for, what to avoid, and things like that. So I've gotten a lot of advice from these conversations, got a lot of inspiration and motivation to keep following. You know, follow your cloud. Shout out to Whitney. Follow your cloud. We talked a lot about faith, and I love that. I feel like God, you know, maybe using this platform to share a lot of these things with people who may not have gotten, you know, that those words of wisdom or whatnot. Because I think every single conversation, our guest brings up their walk with God or how that's influenced what they're doing and things like that. So really enjoyed it. What about you?
I think one thing everyone touched on was transitions.
Yes.
And pivoting.
Yeah.
And how that's kind of necessary. Mm-hmm. And where you're going through those transitions, although it may seem like a tough time at the time.
Yeah.
It's, you're growing in those moments and you're learning a lot and you're learning a lot about yourself. Mm-hmm. And those times that you go through that may be a little rough, they ultimately build a lot of character and skills that'll allow you to succeed in your next phase and your next journey. So I think that's one thing that I kind of took out of it. Another thing was like having a clear vision, knowing what you want, and then making a way for you to get there. So essentially, a lot of people know what they want, but you have to put in the work. Everyone talked about how much work they put into whatever craft it is, how it wasn't easy, but how because they are passionate about something, because they want to do something, they are willing to put in the work. It's not really working at that point. It's more so striving for what you want to achieve what you think you deserve.
Being dedicated. Definitely. I would agree with that as well. And I think that's what we were both hoping for too, is to talk about those type of things, inspire other people on their own journeys, no matter what age, like to just follow your dreams, even if you don't really know what that looks like, to start small, put the work in somewhere. What can you do to either work on yourself or work on your brand? Something is like the work that you're putting in now will pay off. You just kind of have to start somewhere. And so that's definitely what I've gotten out of it too. And all of our guests are also doing even greater things since we've spoken to them last. And we can share some of those things on our social media page or platform. But yeah, there have been some changes and some updates with our guests.
Yeah, I think O's Kitchen is making some changes, right?
Oh, huge. Yeah, so we, from just following, you know, Ola, watching her stories and whatnot, she's now moved to a commercial-sized kitchen, so she's upgraded there, which obviously her budget is increasing. She's hiring folks, and I think she said it was like 15 an hour. Like, that's not low pay.
Yeah.
For a delivery, like that's pretty good. So she's hiring people, bigger kitchen, making big moves. Coco B, Courtney. So episode 7, her new swim line just dropped. Groovy girl, super cute. She also is working on her thrifting channel, like we talked about. She's gonna be dropping some fitness videos. If you guys have scrolled her Instagram, you've seen her body. So she's dropping some fitness videos, and she's also dropping some prints. So she'll be selling. Oh, Cedric is making some faces. So what do you want to say, Cedric?
Nothing
about these prints.
I've seen a couple on Instagram. I think they're a good decor for anyone's home.
Said you're gonna buy some. You all should buy some. They're beautiful. Along with that, you any other updates on our guests so far? Whitney.
Yeah, I saw Whitney actually earlier today. She took a 6-week break.
Okay.
To refocus, to re-strategize how she wants to serve the community. So now she's back out there today, serving some of the Dallas homeless population, mm-hmm. with the Easter Sunday 2.0 or something like that.
Oh yeah, she made, was it chicken, yeah, sweet greens. Potatoes, greens. I think Kelly, so one of her best friends, Kelly, who has a pound cake business called K by the Pound, she made like some, I forgot, was it brownie?
Something sweet.
Some kind of pound cake. Yeah. I know it was bomb. But yes, they're out there blessing and feeding people in need. We absolutely love that.
Yeah, and then even Kyron from episode 8.
Yeah.
Funny guy. And he said you gotta stay on the mic. So he has an upcoming comedy showcase on April 24th at Chicago Fight Club. Fight Club. Golly, I can't talk.
That's
today.
Interesting. In a fight club.
So if anyone's in Chicago looking for a laugh, go check him out April 24th.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. And everybody, I know everyone we've ever spoken to is doing great and wonderful and amazing things. So keep on checking in with them. Follow them so you can see and get that content right on your own timeline. But we were talking about the podcast. So when I asked you, I said, our podcast? I thought you wanted to talk about The Breakfast Club, an episode with Kevin Samuels. Because Sed made a tweet today. What did it say?
Oh, no. It wasn't The Breakfast Club. I'm sorry.
What was that?
He was on Joe Budden's podcast.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so Kevin Samuels, for those that don't know, is a very polarizing figure. He talks. He gives a lot of relationship advice.
Mm-hmm.
It's primarily a lot of times to women, and a lot of the times he can come off very harsh with the things that he says, or a lot of people take it as disrespectful,
yeah,
or dehumanizing. a few different ways. But he was just on Joe Budden's podcast talking about. We just learned more about him. His background, where he came from, and why he thinks the way he thinks. If you listen to the podcast in its entirety,
mm-hmm.
about an hour and a half long, you can understand why he says some of the things he says. And he's not as crazy as people think.
I don't think anyone thinks he's crazy. Is he a relationship? Like, what's his title? Like, what is he?
I don't know. He started off in the corporate world. He said marketing and advertising, and then he started giving advice. Like
he's still in marketing. What he's doing is marketing. When you're rude to people intentionally because you want your videos to go viral, you're still marketing. I understand it. He's getting paid from doing that, though. Now he's on Joe Budden's podcast, so it's working for him. The marketing background's paying off.
Yeah, he says it's all about image. He says because they asked him a question, like, are you surprised that at the rise of success, at the rate that you've risen?
Mm-hmm.
He said no. Because he knew it was going to be big because he knows what he's doing. He knows marketing and imaging.
He does. That it's working. People feed on anger. People feed on black anger. They feed on reaction in general. So if you make a video, you know people are going to have a reaction to it. That's your goal. Even if you hurt people's feelings, it's about getting your video shared. And so the one video I've seen, I watched a little bit of another one, but I couldn't even finish it. But the one video that I actually saw was when he was speaking with a woman who had her own business. She was making good money, but she was a single woman who I think she was 35. And she had a child. She was a single mom. And she was saying, I want a man who brings to the table what I bring. And he was just like going in on her, like, what do you think you are? Like, what do you rate yourself? You think you can get a man that makes so and so amount of money? And you got a kid? Like, he was being, I think, very, very rude to her. I feel like there's a way to get across that conversation. Even there is some truth to it. Men who make a lot of money, I do think, have more options than women do, especially if you're talking about women with children. Because that man, whoever she had the baby with, he is a child too. But the child probably doesn't live with him. So he is ultimately childless. When he dates, he doesn't have to worry about coming home and, oh, is my kid going to be there? No. Women have, there are many differences in our options and how we're viewed, being viewed as like used up or whatever else after you reach a certain age, men being viewed as getting better with time, you know, just different things like that. So there is some truth to that conversation, and maybe she does need to expand her options and not try to limit herself as someone who is quote unquote older in the dating realm. But back to this, I went on a whole tangent, but this conversation.
Which one? What are we talking about?
About Kevin Samuels on that podcast. That started from his video going viral yet again, talking about rating women. So what did you think? What was your reaction to that part of the episode?
I mean, it was a little out of pocket. Well, not even out of pocket, but it was a little extreme.
Okay.
And the part she's talking about is there's a celebrity. How do you say her name?
Saweetie.
Saweetie?
It could just be Sweetie, but it's spelled Saweetie.
Saweetie. Yeah, I don't keep up with all these people, man.
But you know what she looked like.
I mean, because she's on my Twitter every doggone day. But anyway, she's a really pretty, beautiful young lady. And he was saying that he rated her a 6, I think.
A 6,
because
yeah.
She's not naturally pretty without makeup and eyelashes, eyebrows, all that stuff. But my thoughts on that, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. Beauty is subjective. One man's trash, another man's treasure. So it's not up to me to say what he thinks is attractive. It's up to me to say what I think is attractive. And I think she's an attractive young lady.
I just... Because I have not seen the episode, I can't say too much. I just wonder how they got on the topic of it. It just seems like it seems a little off for men over 40 to be sitting around talking about, oh, yeah, she's a 6. She's a 7. You know, it just seems a little weird to me. So I don't really know what sparked it. Maybe that would make more sense to me if I knew how they led into it. But just from that clip, Sweetie is a 6 because I saw her without makeup and...
I think they just brought it up. I think, if I remember correctly, they brought it up because he said that previously.
So they wanted to kind of feed into it.
Basically. Mm-hmm. They wanted to get his thoughts on the topic and elaborate a little more.
And then there was another clip he was talking about, like, older women who I would have to Google to know what they look like. But, like, Pam Grier versus Dorothy Dandridge and... Then in the comments, people were saying, you know, now we're getting into color, because now you're saying these women who can pass for white are what you would deem as a 10. And in another breath, those are your lower rated celebrities. But yeah, it is what it is. He does things for a reaction. It's working, like we said.
Yeah, hey, man.
Women are always money. Women's beauty is always going to be a topic of conversation because that's all we have to offer is beauty.
Who said that?
That's it. That's how we get into conversation, just rating women on what they look like. But hey.
All right. But all right. So we talked about the Kevin Samuels thing,
mm-hmm.
and kind of how like he's finding his lane, finding his path, blazing his own trail.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of talked about how you're blazing your own trail, all of our guests are blazing their own trail, and how everyone has their own path, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
So a lot of people, and you do it for a living, like the career counseling, life coach type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about like passion versus purpose versus chasing the bag versus working because you have to work? What are your thoughts on that, and how can we find a little balance with that?
Wow. Oh, that's a really good question. I think there's a misconception that everyone's going to find the perfect mix between purpose and passion in their career, when in actuality, that's not always the case, and that's okay. Your passion may be something you need to fulfill outside of what you do for your 9-to-5. You don't have to be broke because your passion doesn't make much money in the world. You can still utilize your talents, but also secure your bag by finding a career that will support you financially. Like you shouldn't have to suffer because you've chosen to pursue something that doesn't get paid well. A lot of jobs that are super essential don't get paid well. We've even seen during this last year, the quote unquote essential workers are the ones making $13 an hour who can't take off work. So it's not always that, I just lost my train of thought. But what I was saying was it's okay to not have a passion and purpose career, but to find it elsewhere. Maybe you volunteer, maybe you create something where you get to, you know, use that as an outlet. But working towards your passion may require financially for you to be in a certain place that your passion just cannot fuel. But by all means, know yourself, know what you want in life, know what kind of lifestyle you want. And if certain things aren't important to you, that's okay. Like for myself, I have no want to maybe like drive an Aston Martin one day. I have no want to have a Lamborghini one day. Doesn't mean I don't want a lot of money, because I do. I want lots of money. But I know what my wants are and what they aren't.
What do you want?
Oh, let's get into Dove's question. This is kind of what that is. So we've mentioned Dove 3 times right, already. Man. He's on the episode.
He probably not even gonna listen.
He better. So our friend Dove posts this question. Dove likes to talk. So Dove posts this question and said, with the money you make now, do you feel like making more money would allow you to get something you can't get now? Like, what can you not get with your current salary that you honestly truly want?
He said, besides a house or a car.
Yes, that was the stipulation. You cannot answer a car. You cannot answer a house. So we were all thinking about that. And a lot of us were like, I guess I can get everything I want right now.
That's wealth right there.
That's not true, though. No. So my answer was like, I would travel more often if I had more money. I would have a better car, but that, you know, we can't say that. That's one of the stipulations. So travel more often, spend more money on my clothes. Probably I probably wouldn't be shopping at Shein if I made a bunch more. But then again, it's like, I don't see myself being pressed to buy a Gucci bag, to buy a Gucci belt. Like, that's not something that is important to me. To walk around with a bag that costs $5,000. When there are other ones that are super cute and I want to support a black designer. So yeah, that was a really good question that he posed.
Yeah. And it's kind of piggyback off of that. Something that we all kind of talked about. Salt Bae has a restaurant here.
Woo!
Y'all know the infamous Salt Bae.
Let's talk about it.
One of our people we follow on Instagram, like a food critic, his name is Dubs Grubbs.
And Dub said we should go to the restaurant.
Yeah. So we were all talking about going, getting a group going. And the food critic posted a review and was like, yeah, steaks can range anywhere between, what was it, $150 to $1,500 for a steak?
Yes.
And then he was like, yo, so if you don't have it, don't come. he was like, don't get it twisted. You will pay for water. Water is $10.
Whoa, I did not see that.
Yeah, you had to swipe. It wasn't just in the comments. You had to, like, swipe. So it's like, don't try to come and get a water and, like, try to save some bread, because water is $10.
See, like, with stuff like that, doesn't even make, like, that's illogical. I don't want to support you if you're charging $10 for water.
But people that have gone say it's all about the experience. It was top tier. Mm-hmm. They would do it again.
Yeah.
But back to the original question.
Yes.
If I made more money, I wouldn't think about it.
We wouldn't think twice about it. Like, if I had an extra $1,000 on my check every month, because they said if you bring a small group, you're going to spend up to $10,000.
They said, but if you come with a small group, expect to pay anywhere between $2,000 and $10,000.
And I've never spent $1,000 at a dinner. It was just like, that's not in my tax bracket. So I guess that would be a thing. I would think not. I would not think twice about going to Salt Bae's restaurant. But that was super cool that he was at his Dallas location for a long time.
Yeah, I saw someone posted a story last week and he was still there. So I don't know.
I don't know if he ever made a move. But no, that would be really fun just to go do just one day.
Yeah. So passion, money,
mm-hmm,
purpose. What's something you're looking forward to coming up? We talked about what we've done so far in 2021. What's going on for the rest of your year?
Rest of the year.
Or something you're just looking forward to. Vacation. A birthday, maybe.
Oh, okay. My birthday is on April 28th. I will drop the Cash App. Y'all can feel free to send some stuff. But it's my 27th birthday. And it's kind of like, wow. Like, wow, Tia, you're turning 27. And I want to add more to my story. I want to write more in Tia's book of life. I was leaving the gym today and I was like, I'm happy. Like, if I died right now, I would be able to say I'm happy with how I'm living my life. But
hold on, sorry, before you get started, are these just thoughts you just have when you come from the gym?
Tia be thinking, y'all. Like, I really just be thinking. Like, I walked outside, the sun was shining. I was like, man, I'm happy. Y'all, I'm very much so happy individual. Very much so at peace. And I really do thank God for the peace that I have in my life. But no, I was saying I'm happy with how I'm living my life. I feel good about the choices that I make. I'm sure there was more to that thought process. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it was a whole train of thoughts. But just because I'm happy doesn't mean I don't feel like there's more I could be doing, mm-hmm. you know, or endeavors I wish I have tried, or, you know, just anything. Speaking of things I wish I have tried or things I would want to spend more time on, I have a whole cabinet of painting stuff down there. I want to get better with painting. I want to learn more about techniques. Like, I could be selling $1 million paintings. People be putting drops of paint on a canvas and selling it for millions of dollars. And I want to be doing that. Along with that, music. Love music. I've always felt like, back in the day, I used to want to be a DJ. I was like, I could be a freaking DJ. I know all the music.
Can't you sing?
I can sing.
Go ahead. Y'all want to hear something? Notes.
Hold on. I'm not about to sing right now. But, no, that's something that's huge, too, is that I like my voice a lot. Like, I love my voice. And you're laughing. You're supposed to love yourself, okay?
I do. I love myself very much.
Well, good. Well, no, I love my voice. I really do love to sing, but I don't do anything with it, and that's really sad. Because I'm so shy when it comes to singing. Short story. I think this was traumatizing for me, y'all. In college, we had a Mizzou Idol, and they had multiple auditions. And so for Mizzou Idol, made it past the first audition. They really liked me. Then I got up. So the second audition, or I don't know if it was second or third. I think it was second. Second audition, you had to audition in front of everyone. All the candidates, all the judges with your music and stuff. And my silly self decided to try to learn a new song for my audition. Got up there, nervous AF, forgot my words. I'm just...
What song was it?
It was Glitter in the Air by Pink. I think I turn that song up every time it shuffles on. I should just delete it. But, yeah.
So what'd you do when you were up on stage?
I was...
Or like, how long were you just up there?
Okay, I don't remember. I wasn't just standing there just like deer in headlights, but I probably was like humming. I couldn't even tell you, but I was like, dang. So I think that was my like one attempt to share my voice. And then like, I guess that was it. But nah, I could definitely do more with it. And I was on YouTube today. I watch YouTube like more than TV, but I was on YouTube today and a video of Ari Lennox and Duran Bernard popped up. And I used to watch Ari.
Yeah.
I say Ari.
Correct you, but
shut up.
I'll let it slide.
Because I read things in my head when I'm saying them out loud. So in my head, okay. But the video was Ari, and I used to watch her before she was famous. Same with Chloe and Halle. Same with everybody else. Yeah,
Chloe and Halle, they're some of my favorites now.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay, I wonder why. You probably know which one is freaking which.
I know which one Chloe is.
Oh, you know which one Chloe is. Okay. But, but yeah, like I used to really watch and listen, and I'm like, nowadays, this is really your time. If you wanted to blow up, pop some stuff on social media, be cute, and you in there. But age is also a thing. So if you scared to do something, you better do it now.
Age ain't nothing but a number. That's what Aaliyah, somebody, something like that said. I don't know.
Oh.
But yeah, thanks for asking about me.
I was about to get to it. Can I breathe for a second? Dang, Cedric, what you want to do with your life?
With my life? I haven't really given it much thought. No, I'm just joking. I'm going to say the same thing I said last time. I want to read more.
No, okay, let's actually pause, because I'm talking about things that, like, what are some things maybe you are not doing that is prohibiting you from living your best life?
I think I am living my best life.
Okay.
I think things I want to do, if I want to do it, I'll do it. So, obviously, there are things you can do to enhance your life, like having more experiences, things like that. But I've had a ton of experiences. I'm not going to stop. Just because I had a ton, I'm not going to stop. But one thing I do want to get back to is traveling a lot more. I used to travel a lot prior to COVID, but, you know, COVID kind of slowed it down a little bit. But I do have a trip coming up in May. Okay. One of my great friends, they're getting married. Shout out to Jay Worm, Jeremy.
Oh, I'm going too.
Yeah, I don't know how.
Shut up.
But yeah, Jeremy, he's getting married. And so I'm a groomsman. So shout out to that. I just got fitted for my suit the other day. I'm about to look fly. I think I'm going to make my return to the gram. I haven't posted on Instagram in 2 years. And once I get that suit on, I think I'm going to pop out.
Whoa.
And
we're not ready?
Not ready.
You're also being very generic. You're being very generic right now about.
What do you want me to say?
I want to travel more. Everybody wants to travel more. So what are some things, like, do you, so you said you feel like you're living your best life.
Yeah, I'm living a pretty awesome life.
Pretty awesome is great, but do you feel like you're living your best life?
I do.
Well, maybe you should write us a book.
Maybe. How to Live Your Best Life by Cedric Harris.
No, really. So there's nothing in life that could enhance or make your life better besides traveling? Let's actually talk about it.
You kind of cut me off, like you tend to do. I was going to continue to
Cedric,
speak.
I'm going to slap you across this room.
But you didn't allow me to. But to answer your question, yeah, did you interrupt?
Let's get to it.
I think I'm doing pretty swell, actually. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
It's not bad, but I think you're just not saying it.
Well,
that's what I, because if you're saying you're living your best life, that's great. But then my second question or follow up was, there's nothing that could change, that could be enhanced.
I'm sure there is, but I can't think of that right now. So because I can't think of it, I think my life is pretty great.
It's perfect.
Not perfect.
It has to be perfect if you're saying this.
No one's life is perfect, and that's okay. But my life, I'm happy with my life and how it is currently constructed.
I think I'm also a lot more open and vulnerable than Cedric is, even though I haven't even really said much. But I don't think I'm being guarded.
I don't think I'm a private. Well, maybe
you are very. I'm a very, very private. Unless you're drunk, yes.
I don't drink.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Cedric doesn't drink, you guys.
I know, but I don't think I'm a very guarded or private person. I think I'm an open book.
You don't think that. Now you're just saying anything.
And my book is currently open as we're speaking. I'm telling the world about my life.
You told the world you like to travel. Okay.
Which is true.
Okay.
I'm a really not basic. Someone called me that the other day. and it's not true. I'm a pretty laid back, chill. Some would call me nonchalant type of person.
That's not a good. Oh, I hate, H-A-T-E, dislike people who are nonchalant. And when I say nonchalant, that means that you're not open with your emotions or your feelings, like, ever. Like, you always have to keep. That also shows that you don't have the ability to, or you're afraid of being vulnerable. People who are nonchalant are just afraid of being vulnerable, and that's it.
Well, I'm not afraid of being vulnerable. I have feelings. I can express my feelings.
Yeah.
There are probably varying degrees of nonchalantness.
Oh, there are. There are.
So I don't think I'm on the one side. I'm on the other side, you know?
And people who are nonchalant, who claim to be nonchalant, they all have feelings. We all have feelings. Yeah. It's just about how we express and portray those feelings. And so it's also about how we suppress. So when you suppress your feelings and emotions, that's what I would deem being nonchalant. And you're not
ready. Are y'all ready for her to counsel y'all? LPC coming soon. Hey, you see why she wants to do it. She thinks she's a counselor in real life.
I am. I counsel all of y'all.
But anyway, I've answered my question. I don't know if it meets your requirements for an answer, but that is my answer.
We'll dig deeper later.
Dig deeper later. Another counseling session coming soon.
Yeah.
But anyway, as you all know, we always do a segment. Mm. And for this one, we asked our large following. Why'd you laugh?
Oh, I thought it was a joke.
we asked our large following to ask us anything, and we'll answer right here on the podcast.
Yes.
And we had such an overwhelming amount of responses. We can only answer 5 here today on the podcast.
Okay.
Because we answer all of them, we'll be going for days, and we just have to save someone for next time. So for those that we didn't get to, I really apologize. We'll get to you next time we do a mailbag segment. But started off, how about there? I think we have 5 questions, so I'll ask each one, and then Tia, you can go first on one. I can go first on the other, and then vice versa, back and forth.
Sounds good.
Sound good to you? Sound like a plan? Sound like a vibe?
Yes.
All right. First question. Are you guys proud of this first season?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So I think both of us, you can tell me if I'm wrong, I think both of us were a little nervous just to get it started. Not really sure how the reception would be. What people would think, or how the interviews or just the conversation would go and flow. But I can say, yes, I'm so proud and very, very happy with everything so far. Of course, we're learning about things that we can do better with and in moving forward. But I feel like I've seen changes within myself, just of how I listen to others and working on active listening more, not trying to formulate a question before I, you know, while the other person is talking, but actually being in the moment. It's okay to be in the moment and to just be there, and that's how you have great conversations. And so, yes, super proud, super happy about this first season. Next season's going to be even better. What about you?
Yeah, super excited, super proud, super happy. Like you said, not really sure how it's going to look to start off with. Not really sure what I was doing to start off with. Super nervous, kind of intimidating a little bit. Aww. But it just became less like, okay, I got to do this. It just became fun, more fun as it went on. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's pretty cool. Like you said, definitely a learning curve, active listening, learning how to speak, couple sound difficulties, things like that. One thing I also didn't think that was going to happen, I didn't think I would talk to Tia every doggone day. I talk to her almost every freaking day because of this. And it's like, as soon as I see Tia McClain pop up on my phone, I'm like, again. What does she want now? No, I'm just joking. but yeah, I am happy about the first season. But like most people said, I think Big Nardo said in one of the episodes, he was saying basically what you think was good previously, it changes over time.
Oh yeah.
So with that being said, I'm just excited for our future growth because we're going to look back at this like, oh, man, this was we were fresh. We were green. But we're just going to keep refining and building and going from there, taking it from there. But, yeah, overall, great first season.
Let me ask you the next question, actually.
Yes, ma'am.
So what is your opinion on cancel culture? That's a good question. Shout out to you.
All right, so I have a kind of a dual opinion. So I think in some ways it can be kind of detrimental. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is it doesn't allow room for people to grow.
Yes.
So if someone did make a mistake in 08 by a tweet they said there was homophobic, racist, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Of course that's wrong. Of course you want to demean that behavior. But that doesn't mean someone isn't able to learn from that, grow from that, and then be reformed.
Definitely.
I think a lot of it gets caught up into kind of, because everyone always apologizes, right? I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. And then a lot of what people do is we try to determine if that apology is authentic or not, mm-hmm. which we don't. We have no way to know that at all.
Yeah.
So it can be kind of detrimental. But also, cancel culture is good for people who do really crazy things.
And who need
murder, them. Rape. Oh, yeah. You know, really crazy things. I think some actions deserve to be permanently canceled or even temporarily canceled. Mm-hmm. But not everyone needs to be permanently canceled. Some people can be temporarily canceled and have room for growth to show that they've learned from their mistakes.
I can agree with that. So a lot of the, so recently I feel like I've seen comments about quote unquote cancel culture saying that people are putting themselves into a position where they're better than others, thinking they can cancel someone else. And I think that's the wrong way to look at it. I think everyone has the right to not support somebody if they've offended them or if they've done something that's crazy. It's totally fine to be unsupportive. That's totally fine. But like you said, I do think it kind of goes to an extreme. Like when you see anything posted about someone and then someone replies and say, "Is this you?"
Yeah,
or
yeah.
they put a comment, we ain't forget. Yeah. And some people do deserve it, like we said. But yes, I'm huge on growth, allowing people to change, allowing them to get better. You know, who are we to judge type of thing. But also, yes, please stand strong. And if you did something I don't support, I don't have to support you. And don't let people peer pressure you into saying, "Oh, you're part of cancel culture." No, I don't like what that person did, so I'm not going to support their work.
Yeah,
which is fine.
And one thing that maybe that I just thought about, I forgot which comedian said it. May have been Kevin Hart, may not have been. I don't know. Don't quote me on that.
Okay.
But I think whoever said it was basically saying previously, before cancel culture became a thing, if you didn't support someone or if you didn't like what they did, you just didn't buy their music, go to their shows, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Versus canceling them and expecting everyone to follow suit and everyone not to like them.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like a certain artist because of what they talk about, or if you don't like a certain comedian because you feel their jokes are offensive, or if you don't like this person because they did that, their sentiment was like, you can simply stop supporting them. You don't have to quote unquote cancel them and expect everyone around the world to also think the same way you do and to cancel them as a whole. So that was one thing that I kind of thought about. That was like, okay, I kind of dig that.
I feel that, and I can agree. I feel like that is a part of cancel culture, is wanting everyone to feel that same way.
Yeah.
But I also do feel like it's typically because of something racist or because of something like perverted. Not perverted, perverted.
Whatever.
Like with R. Kelly. Like,
okay, well, yeah.
Some people will want to tweet and like, "Oh, I'm gonna still listen to his music." Like, why? Like, are you proud to say that? You can keep that to yourself.
So, what do you think about separating the artist or the whoever the person is from the action?
That's difficult for me, and I want to, because like we all grew up on R. Kelly's music. His songs are ingrained into our heads. They are part of our childhood, our upbringing, parties and everything, right? But I think it goes back to finances, honestly. So you listening to someone's music is not supporting them, but you listening to their music and them getting streams from it, you're still filling their pockets. So if you go on YouTube for free, listen to their music, do what you do. I try to avoid listening to R. Kelly. And I feel like there's someone else who I'm not mentioning, but that's who I could think of right now. But yeah, I try to avoid listening to him. But yeah, it goes back to finances. If you're not supporting them financially, do what you do. I mean, no one would know. No one's getting that person is not benefiting from it. So whatever.
I feel that.
Yeah.
The great question. Shout out to Mariam for the first two questions. What is the biggest lesson you've learned building your career? And this one comes from Kiara.
Come on now.
There we go.
Okay. Biggest lesson. Ooh, okay. Biggest lesson that I've learned building my career. I mentioned this in the first episode. Planned happenstance is a real thing. And again, that is preparing yourself for the unknown, building up your, what is it called? Human capital, social capital, so that you are prepared for whatever opportunity presents itself. Being okay with uncertainty, being okay with not knowing your next move every single time, but regardless of you not knowing, still working on yourself. So am I getting certifications? Am I getting licenses? Am I doing things that when I am ready for the next opportunity, my resume is looking good. I've been working. I've been networking, you know? So you're prepping yourself in whatever way you can. You're just doing the best that you can in your current role, or you know, whatever else. You never know who knows who. And it's not always about what you know, it's often about who you know. And so are you building relationships? Are you doing a good job so that when someone does refer you or you need somebody to put in a good word, they can attest to your work ethic. They can say, oh, Sally, she's always on time. She's always super nice. I love working with her, type of thing. And so in my career, quote unquote, because I've been in the real world working for 3 years now, not a long time at all. But throughout my academic career until now, it's been just that. Always being myself, always being nice and polite and kind and doing a good job, always wanting to learn more, seeing what I could do to make myself better and improve. And it's paid off. And like I said before, I will always say this when I'm talking to anyone. I didn't go to school to work in the field I'm in. I didn't go to school to be in career services. You don't. It's not a major, right? But that's where my life has led me. So because I took on that assistantship in college, didn't know much about it, was super scared to be a teacher. I taught, did different things, and now that has led me to and equipped me with skills that I can use now. So biggest lesson I learned, be okay with plan happenstance.
Wow, what an eloquent answer. It's thank pretty you. Similar to mine. Okay. But I'm gonna use a different phrase.
Okay,
mine is gonna be
you make something up.
No. I was really about to say something. Look, there you go, interrupting somebody.
I'm
gonna
hit you with this microphone.
Anyway, what I was going to say is be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Oh,
so essentially, when you're in uncomfortable situations, force you to grow by mm-hmm. being put into situations in which you don't know what you're doing. That it forced you to gain new skills, like you mentioned.
Yes,
have new experiences and become more well-rounded. A lot of us can stay stagnant, be in the same place for a long time, and not really grow and be really comfortable. It's okay to be comfortable, but it's also even better to be uncomfortable because when you're uncomfortable, that's when you're forced to grow.
Come on now. They said nothing grows in the comfort zone.
Who said that?
Everybody say that.
Say less.
I can't stand you. Let me see what our next question is. Why is it important for you to highlight Black successful individuals on this podcast?
Oh, so you're asking me this question?
Yes, I lost I track. Am. Yes, I am.
I think it's really important because I feel like that story doesn't get told enough. Mm-hmm. Or if it does, it's like something that's very unobtainable to some. So mm-hmm. like when you think about a lot of the successful stories that are highlighted a lot of times someone's an athlete, they're an actor, they're a musician. But a lot of times it's hard to relate to those individuals because they aren't people that you know, people you can see, people you can touch. But with the guests that we've had thus far, some of them I've known, some of them T has known, some of them none of us have known. Mm-hmm. So, but either way, it's kind of common because they're all in the same sort of age bracket for the most part, all have been through kind of similar things and all have essentially, followed their cloud, blazed their path to get to where they are. So I think those stories that are being told can be a lot more relatable to people. Yeah. And those, a lot of the lessons, a lot of the insights we got from all of our guests on how to transition, how to stay true to yourself, how to find your passion can be applicable to any of us. And those lessons can be really valuable, but also all those people are doing amazing things.
Yeah.
And it's not talked about enough. They deserve their flowers while they're still here. And like you said, while their story is still being written.
Yes.
So although we got them in 2021, I'm looking forward to see what they're doing in 2031, and then we can run it back.
Yeah.
Another interview.
No, that was a really good answer. And honestly, you've said what I feel. I don't feel like there are many platforms that highlight us unless it's something, like you said, athlete, musician. So it's typically, you know, in the same boat. And so we wanted to kind of go outside of the box, digging into our networks and our surrounding network. And of course, we said, why is it important to highlight Black individuals? Because, yeah, our stories are not always told. And why not create a platform to highlight these amazing individuals and introduce you all to them so you can relate and learn more about their journey?
Make sure you go follow everyone we've had on there.
Yeah.
They're all doing great things, and their stories don't stop at these interviews. So
yeah.
Make sure you go follow everyone, support them in all their different endeavors, because they're going to continue to do awesome things, and this is just the beginning for a lot of them.
You got the last question.
I know. You didn't give me a chance
to ask it. Cut me off on my last answer, so go ahead.
You were done talking.
No, I wasn't, but hey.
All right, anyway. If money wasn't a factor, but you had to work, what would you be doing for a career? I love the caveat, but you have to work, because if money wasn't a factor,
I would not be working.
Well, yeah, shout out to Kayla for the last two questions.
Yes. Oh, Lord. Yes. Agreed 100 times over. If I did not have to work, I would just have fun all day, every day. But if money wasn't a factor, I think my job would be, my brain goes directly to acting and singing. I think acting and singing, it's weird because those are the careers where you would be making a bunch of money.
I was just about to say that.
But if money wasn't a factor, like if that wasn't a driving force or anything, just because of the love of it and like the love of entertainment and fun, and being able to laugh and be on TV and be seen just seems kind of fun. Every time I watch like a movie and you see the bloopers at the end, you're like, this is their job.
Yeah.
They get to have fun and get paid millions of dollars. And also, I really like to talk, as you all know. And so being able to, and I'm also really good at memorizing scripts. So I think I would be decent, you know, as an actress, and I love to sing. So being a singer, a songstress, would be fun as well.
I have a follow-up question for you.
What's up?
What kind of music would you make if you were a full-time artist? And yeah. Then what type of roles, if you were an actress, like drama, comedy, where do you find your niche? Where do you see your niche in that space?
Good question. If I was a singer, I think my style would be like an Erykah Badu, Ari Lennox, but also like folk. Like,
what do you mean by folk?
Folk music. Like, okay, when I say folk, not even folk, but like alternative. I really do like every type of music. I also really love, so Priscilla Renee, she writes music typically, but she's also a singer, an amazing singer. And her last album was a Black country album. I shouldn't even say Black country album. It's a country album. But she's a Black singer. And I feel like that is so cool. I love country music. And that would be super cool to do that. But alternative, if I were to give you, I'll give you some songs later so you can see what I mean by that. But like,
so you about to drop some of your songs later?
I actually didn't say that. Oh, but Bat for Lashes, that's like alternative. That's what I mean by that. Bat for Lashes is a group. Little Dragon is a good example. I think the kind of music that I would probably make. But also have a few ballads, like a little K. Michelle bop. A little, I don't know. Just, I feel like I like so many different types of music. And then acting, I don't know. Probably not comedy. Unless they wrote, like, they got to write all my jokes for me. I don't know. Maybe I could deliver the jokes well. Who knows? But I think I could do some serious stuff. Give me some drama. Oh, give me some roles with some killing in it. If I get to kill somebody.
Like horror or like drama?
Like drama, like cheating, murder.
Like a
teacher, husband, killing, baby, nanny, Lifetime type movies. Put me in a Lifetime movie. That's it. Let me ask you that same question. If money wasn't a factor, but you had to work, what would you be doing for your career?
I think I'd be a sports journalist.
You would.
I love sports. I love analyzing the game. I love talking about sports. So I think just being around the game, being around athletes, specifically basketball, I think I'd be an NBA analyst. So just talking about the game, being around the athletes, getting to know them by reporting on them, but also just doing what I like to do anyway. I think that's what I would do.
Are those, so an analyst, is that the person who would be on the field or on the court talking to them after the game?
Yeah, so I think I would want to do a myriad of things with that. So I think I want to be an actual sports broadcaster,
yeah.
The one that calls the game. I want to be a sports reporter, the one that, like, sideline reporting or, like, after the game reporting. But I also want to be, like, an analyst, like, in the studio. Like, if you ever seen Inside the NBA,
mm-mm.
It's with Ernie Johnson, Kenny the Jet Smith, Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley.
For some reason, I knew you were talking. See, I know stuff.
See, I knew you knew. That's why I had to tell you. I had to break it down.
Okay.
So I would be on that type of show, too. So I, like, just talk about it. They just sit in the studio.
Get paid.
They just, and that show in particular, they just have a lot of fun. They do silly things. They're always cracking jokes on each other.
Like the Shannon Sharp. Or,
oh, that's Undisputed. I wouldn't want to do that one. That's more like a debate sports show.
Yeah, which is fun.
Yeah, it's fun, but then you always have to be super extreme to
like him.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
his the person who helps to make the show, Skip, right?
Skip.
So he balances the other person out.
Yeah, but I don't want to always have to argue for 3 to 4 hours.
I love to argue.
And then sometimes they have like topics because like you can't argue about just the game. You have to have these narratives and these stories to argue about.
Yeah.
So some of them are stupid.
They force them.
Yeah, like Kevin Durant, he was on a podcast, I think yesterday, I forgot the name of the podcast,
uh-huh.
But they asked him like his favorite, the top five teammates he's ever had, the best teammates he ever played with.
Mm-hmm.
He forgot one of the people, Russell Westbrook, he forgot his name. But then they were like, the person that was hosting the podcast, like, are you forgetting someone? He's like, oh yeah, my bad. I'm going to put him in here and take Serge Ibaka out. But on the sports show, they were debating, did Kevin Durant really mean to leave Russell Westbrook out on purpose, or did he do it accidentally? And they had to do like a whole segment arguing about that. I don't want to do that.
See, that sounds like some Love and Hip Hop type stuff. Yeah, it's a little petty drama.
Exactly. It's dramatized. So I wouldn't want to do that, but I would want to be in the sports world in that aspect.
I could definitely see you doing that. People, I'm sure, are going to say, why aren't y'all doing the stuff y'all say y'all want to do, just go do it.
touche. But they said money was a factor. So, gotta pay the bills. But cool. Thank you for participating. Thank you for all of our great listeners for sending in those questions. Like I said, there were so
really
many
good
that we couldn't, you know, get to them all today. But maybe next time. but with that being said, I just want to shout out to the listeners overall for rocking with us, bearing with us from episode 1 to episode 9. If you're still listening, we love you. If you stop listening, we hope for you to listen again. If you haven't listened yet, this might be your first episode, and this might be the one that gets you. But we're really excited overall about season 1. We have a lot of things coming for season 2. Be on the lookout for that.
Mm-hmm.
Till you want to give any teasers of what they can expect next year. Or next, not next year, next
Whoa,
season.
Whoa, I was like, oh my gosh. Yes. So one thing we've been working on that we're super excited to share is the Invited Podcast book list. So we always talk about wanting to read more. But like, honestly, reading is so important. And there's a lot of wisdom in these books. And so we've gathered a few book suggestions from our listeners, and we've created the Invited Podcast book list. We've been working on it for some months. We should have shared this a lot sooner, but hey, we're going to push it out. You guys can keep up with some of these books. If you're wanting to know, what can I read next? How can I get enlightened? Then you can take a look at that list. We also hope to send out some free copies, pass some blessings along so you all can pick a book. Not everybody, of course, but like pick somebody to pick a book. We'll send you a book. What about the giveaway we have coming up?
Ooh. So one lucky person will get a gift card of an undisclosed amount.
I'm still being decided.
So we're going to do a giveaway. It'll be the day after this episode comes out. So later this week, actually.
This Friday. I'm off work.
Must be nice. But giveaway, all you have to do is follow us on Instagram to get the rules of the giveaway.
Or Twitter.
Matter of fact, something we didn't do on the first episode was drop all of our handles to all of our social media. Because people could like just listen. They could find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts.
They're in our link tree too, everything.
Yeah. So go ahead. Let people know some of all of our handles.
So if you want to find us on Instagram, we are at The Invited Pod. If you want to find us on Twitter, we're at The Invited Pod _.
Correct.
Yes. And so when you do find either of those pages, you will find our link tree, which is linked to our Apple Podcast page, Spotify, Instagram, Twitter, and a Facebook if you're a Facebooker. And so, yeah, super excited. Please go visit that link tree. And yeah, everything's linked there.
Yeah. If you want to follow Tia, where can they find you at?
So my at on Twitter and Instagram is at rawrmachine, R-A-W-W-R machine. Please don't ask me where that comes from or why. I've had it for over a decade. It's probably not going to go anywhere. And what's your at?
My at, for the people that don't know, it's Big Said Goon.
Okay.
BigCedGoon.
So we both have embarrassing handles.
Yeah, like when I meet someone new and they're like, what's your Instagram? I'm like, let me just type it in. I don't want to say this out loud.
They're going to see it.
But like, I don't have to say it out loud. They can just read it. Because at this point, I've had it for over 10 years as well, and it's probably not going anywhere, so it just is what it is.
It is what it is, just like your email. We're not going to mention that, but hey.
Anyway, but again, thank you all for listening to us season one. Season two, we coming back stronger, better, heavy hitters. Just wait on it. But thank you all again. As always, it's been a pleasure. Another episode of the Invited Podcast in the books. Tia? It's been a wild ride.
It has been, and season two will be even wilder. Shout out to y'all for listening.
That's a wrap.